Skeletons are made of cartilage or bones. They live in fresh water, salt water, oceans, and ponds. Fish say,
gloop, gloop.
Fish say,
gloop, gloop.
Fish say,
gloop, gloop.
Fish say,
gloop, gloop.
Fish say,
I'm not sure how Gary finds these, but I like to envision in my mind Gary on a Friday night recording all of this just for Saturday's right. broadcast.
Doing Google searches
while watching live PD. Yeah, it gets weirder.
Talking aquaponics, and the question was posed going right as we're going into the break. What kind of water use are we talking? Is this something sustainable for the desert?
Well, so I get this question a lot because of the fruit trees. You know, are fruit trees something sustainable for the desert? And really the bigger question is 4.8 million people sustainable for the desert? That's really the question that we have to ask.
And that's
ourselves.
A low number.
Well,
I think when the 2020 census comes out, we're probably closer to 6.
Well, in the state, I'm saying the Phoenix metropolitan area. And, you know, really what we're – there's a balance here. And the balance that we run into is, all right, do we ship this stuff in? Do you know what food miles are? You ever heard of food miles?
I have an idea, but no. I haven't heard specifically.
It's the term. Miles that food travels from where it's grown to where it's consumed. And what do you think, any guesses, how many miles is the average food miles in the United States?
Ooh.
Make up something.
1,200.
1,500 to 2,000 wow. miles. So when we're looking at a peach or a fish or a tomato or anything that's grown in right now, blueberries in the grocery store are from Peru or Chile, one of the two, I can't remember.
Long way.
Long way. The environmental impact on that is huge for the, you know, picking it, shipping it, so on and so on.
Well, and just the manufacturing process for oil consumes a bunch of water.
Right, right, to get the stuff transferred from there to here. So that's really the thing that we have to look at when we're looking at, all right, is growing food in the desert appropriate? Well, first of all, there's 4.8 million people in the valley. Secondly, the environmental impact of shipping it. Third thing, and this is a really important piece, the nutritive value or the nutritional value of the food. When something is picked, this doesn't include fish, or maybe it does. When something is picked off of a vine, a peach is picked, it's picked when it's not ripe. If it's coming from South America or Australia, they pick it when it's not ripe.
Because it'd be bad by the time it got here.
Plus, the nutrient density of it isn't complete. So they're picking let's just call it a peach. They're picking a peach that's not fully nutrient dense. And then the second they pick it and they travel it, it starts degrading nutritionally. So by the time it gets to the grocery store, the nutritional value is less. And I would suspect the same thing would be for, you know, fish. Once they kill a fish, the nutritional value starts to degrade so that it's not as good for us. So that's the balance that we have to look at is when we're looking at are we going to raise food in the desert and how are we going to raise food in the desert, or are we going to ship it from Nebraska or Chile or Peru or New Zealand, which those are places that we ship food from all the time. So that's really the bigger question is how do we look at the environmental impact of this stuff? And so I say grow the food locally. Here's the cool thing. Hydroponics uses 90% less water. Isn't that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Compared to conventional agriculture, when you apply water to a field, that water infiltrates into the ground. The plant uses part of it, and then it goes below where the plants can use the that water. And so with aquaponics, you're recirculating that water. You're not losing any water to the soil by infiltration. You're losing, the only water you're losing is the water that evaporates and the water the plants use. So during the summer, during peak times of evaporation, we're adding maybe 30 gallons of water a week to a 200 gallon tank.
So it is actually quite water efficient.
How many times can you recycle the water?
It infinite. You, I've never had to empty my tank.
I guess Mother Nature's done it for millions of years.
Right?
Yeah. Right. That's the benefit of using the tilapia. They can take a high saline content water better than other fish. And so when you're adding your tap water, your fresh water, you're reducing that salinity in the water.
Okay, you guys have really piqued my curiosity. This sounds cool, but on first impression, for someone listening, it seems capital intensive.
There is an investment. It's a do-it-yourself project that involves many different fields.
How did you get in it? Where do you start exploring?
I bought a book.
Okay.
And now, for everyone out there listening who's not sure what a book is, there used to be these places called bookstores before Google came along, and it had paper, and it would tell you stuff.
Oh, my gosh, right?
More aquaponics here with Farmer Greg.
And Chris Gardner.
And Chris Gardner, right after this.